start conference recording, press 1. To return, the recording has started.
As we left off last week, we were discussing what's the status of a person who's Makadosh Anisha with somebody who's his real ribbis, in the sense of that he lent money to somebody and he receives ribbis in return, he receives a real interest, something that's ribbis from the Torah. He turns around and uses that money to Makadosh the woman. So we had a Rai from Agamara, at least a Rashi from Agamara, that the Kedusha would still be valid. What's the lumdus of that? Isn't there a halacha called a Makadosh Begezel Eid Makadoshes? So a person steals a ring and uses it for Kedusha, clearly that's not going to be acceptable. So why should money that was obtained through a ribbis transaction be any different? So this led us to believe that maybe ribbis is really fundamentally different than Gezela. When I steal something, so the object that I steal is not mine. So obviously, Makadosh B'dovah Shein HaShalom is not going to work. When I receive money B'ribis, so the money is mine. I wasn't supposed to. It's awesome in a Torah to do it. But if all said and done, once the person willing to give me the ribbis money does become mine. So that's what the Ritva writes in Rav Sugya. That we spoke a lot about in the previous year, that the Ritva is medayik from Rav Sugya. That is in fact the case. That whenever a person collects money B'ribis, although it's also to do it, but the money belongs to them. What was the Ritva's proof that the money belongs to them? The Gemara of Metzia talks about whether the Malva, the person who lent money B'ribis, is required to return the money or not. So he did the Aveir. He did the Aveir already. Now the question is he obligated to return the money? So the Gemara quotes a Machlokes about this. And the Gemara says that even if you hold that you're obligated to return the money, but one thing is for sure true, that the children of the Malva are not required to. Let's say if Reuven lends $1,000 and gets $1,500 back, he gets money B'ribis, and then Reuven dies, his children are for sure not obligated to return the money. The Gemara learns that from a Pasuk. So comes the Ritva and says, if ribbis money would be the equivalent of stolen money, so then, of course, I have to return the stolen goods. Of course, the person's Yerushim have to return the stolen goods. It's not his. I mean, hold on, something doesn't belong to you. So from the fact that the Gemara needs a Pasuk to teach us, the Chayach Yechaymach, there is a Pasuk that you have to return ribbis, and it only refers to the Malva himself, not to the Yerushim of the Malva. For those two halachas, you see clearly that ribbis is not the same as Gezela. But we saw that there are other Rishonim who disagreed. The Meiri quoted Yesh Aymerim, who disagreed. It's not true. That ribbis is the same as stolen goods. And if you have a Kaddish and Isha with ribbis, the condition aren't going to take effect. So according to that opinion, the Meiri, so why don't the Yerushim have to return the quote-unquote stolen goods of ribbis? So you have to say, that's a Gzeiras HaKosam. It's a Chiddush HaTorah. That even though the property that was taken doesn't belong to the Malv anymore, that requirement, normally Beheshif is like Gezeilat Shagazon, the requirement to return stolen goods, that applies to the robber, and it goes down Yerusha. It's not his, of course he has to return it. Even though Ribbis is the same, Ribbis is stealing, Ribbis is the same, you have to return it, but Ribbis and Gezeilat part ways. Gezeiras HaKosav, only the person who took the Ribbis has to return it, not the Yerushim. Why is that true? Chalked it up to the many, many Gzeiras HaKosav that exist, but it doesn't indicate does anything fundamentally different between ribbis and gezeilah. So how would we test case this? How would we know what the answer to this question is? And this is impacting on our sugya, because ultimately, whether you can be Makadosh and Isha with money of ribbis hinges upon whether this equation is true or not. So if we had a blackboard here, we'd put up a simple equation. Ribbis equals gezeilah, question mark. Is that true or is that not true? So the Chora, one has to discuss as follows. What are the parameters of this halacha that you have to return ribbis? At the end of the day, you do have to return ribbis. At least the person himself must return ribbis. The Pasuk says, v'cheyach yechemach. So the Torah Shabbat interprets that to mean that in order to keep your brother alive, you who took ribbis from your brother, you better give it back to him, v'cheyach yechemach. So how do you understand the parameters of this din? So there's a Rashba in the fourth of the Rambam Kamos. The Rashba has a tremendous chiddush concerning this halacha of ribbis having to be returned. So the fourth of the Rambam comes to Rashba from Metzias HaMechalef. Rabbi Elazar Omer ribbis ketzutzi yotzei b'dayanan. Rabbi Elazar says that ribbis ketzutzi means ribbis min haTorah has to be returned, and the dayanan, the court, is going to step up to the plate and make sure that happens. So comes the Rashba and says, mistavrali, it would appear to me, logical to me, the lo yotza b'dayanan laredes l'nechosav ka'amar. When the Gemara says that phrase, ribbis ketzutza is yotza b'dayanan, they have to return ribbis ketzutza, and the Beis Din will ensure that that happens. What that does not mean is is that the Beit Din is actually going to take your property. That's not happening. What does it mean? Elishi mitzvah lahachzir. What it means is there's a mitzvah to return ribbis. As the Torah says explicitly. But the mitzvah says, say, when it comes to positive mitzvahs, that Beis Din sees that a person is not fulfilling his obligations, Beis Din will get involved again. Obviously, because man is that, Beis Din doesn't have that authority for a secular reason, other reasons. But in theory, Beis Din will get involved, and they will force you to fulfill your obligations. And so comes the Rashba and says, when the halacha says, Ribbis Yutzi Yotze V'dayonim, it doesn't mean Beis Din is going to take your property away. What it means is, Beis Din is going to make it very, very uncomfortable for you until you actually do what you're supposed to do. But to take away your property, Beis Din has no authority to do that. What kind of halacha is that? Why doesn't Beis Din have the authority to take away your property? So the answer is, the Rashba clearly is learning that Hachzoras HaRibis is not Gezela. If you would hold that Ribis is Mamish Gezela, it's not my property. Beis Din doesn't have the authority to take away stolen goods. Beis Din has very, very much the authority to take away money that doesn't belong to you. So from the mere fact that the Rashba put the brakes on this halacha, it's clear that the Rashba is of the opinion that Ribbis Ketzutza Yotze B'dayonim, yes, Beis Din will get involved and will help and will encourage and will and may even enforce in terms of exerting pressure on you, but to go to your backyard and take away your money, Beis Din has no right to do that. Who would disagree with this Rashba? So first of all, the Meiri would for sure disagree with the Rashba, because the Meiri is of the opinion, the Yeshua and the Meiri, that Ribbis is like Gezela, so that's obvious, we don't have to discuss that. Of course, according to the Meiri, we would literally take away the person's property, but it could be we could walk a fine line. We could accept the Rashba partially, yet disagree with the Rashba's conclusion. The Rashba had two premises. Premise one, number one, was that Hachzoras Ribbis is not Hachzoras like Gezela, and number two is, since it's only a mitzvah of Achzoras Ribbis, as only a mitzvah, we can encourage, we can try very hard to exert pressure on you, but we have no right. The buck stops here. We can't literally go into your backyard and take away your property. Who says that's necessarily correct? Maybe Beis Din does have the right to literally take away the property, even though Ribbis is not Gezela. How do you walk that fine line? So that's based on a sugya that actually the Rashba refers to. It's a sugya that appears in Maseches Ksuba. It's a very, very important sugya. But the Gemara raises a fascinating question. The Gemara raises the question, why is it that I have to pay back a loan? I borrow $100 from you, so everybody knows, of course, no question about it. The halacha is, I have to pay back the loan. Why? What conceptually, halachically, what is binding me to return that loan to you? So the Gemara quotes the Machlokas. We can explain the Gemara in Ksubas through the eyes of the Ramban because it becomes critical for our discussion. So the Ramban, actually it's the Ramban, not even in Ksubas, the Ramban, it's the very end of Bava Basra, where the Ramban says, what the Gemara's question is raising is as follows. A very real question. I borrow $100 from you, and I say, I don't want to pay you. I'm not interested in paying you back. What is it, the engine that's driving me to pay you back that money? So the Gemara explains that there is a fundamental question how to understand what happens when somebody borrows money from somebody else. That's the question what's called Shibuda D'Araisa or Shibuda Lav D'Araisa. When I borrow $100 from you, is there a change in Dina Mominus? Is there almost like a kinyan, like an acquisition that took place? When I ask you, can I please borrow $100 and you give me the $100, you were kona something by giving me that $100. What were you kona? You were kona a shibud. You were kona a lien. You were kona an obligation. You own something in me. You have what's called the shibud haguf against me. I have a personal liability, a personal responsibility to pay you back, and you own a certain share. I can't say you literally own me, but you have some type of a shibud, some type of a kinyan in me. And perhaps even more important, not only do you have a kinyan in me, you have a kinyan in my property. You have a shibud, you have a lien against all of my property to the value of $100. So if you understand that lending money creates these types of shibudim, then I understand full well what obligates me to pay back the money. Say, Lamashal, if I'm holding on to something that belongs to you, so you have a right to go to Beis Din, and if you could prove that object belongs to you, of course, Beis Din is going to give it back to you. If I'm a Gazlan, if I stole something from you, If I owe you something, if I have some kind of an obligation, if I have something that belongs to you, of course Beis Din is going to take it away from me. So comes the Gemara and says, if you hold that that is what happens in a case of a malva velova, that there is some kind of a kinyan of a shibud that takes place, so then the same way, if I'm holding on to an animal that's rightfully yours, you have a right to go to Beis Din and demand it back, and Beis Din will take it back for you. Huadinami, if you have a lien against me, you have a monetary obligation against me, Beis Din will go and take it back on your behalf. That's if you accept the view called Shibud Min HaTorah. But the Gemara says, we're not even sure that this obligation exists. How do you know? Vishtait, where does it say in the Chumash that Shibud is Min HaTorah? So the one opinion the Gemara that says it is, so the Rishon will quickly try to find your Psukim. Psukim Rav Ashi Kisei, other places would seem to talk about the idea of a Shibud. But there's one opinion in the Gemara that says Shibud Alav De'Araisa, that the principle of a Shibud doesn't exist. There's no such animal Min HaTorah called the Shibud. So what is the obligation for me to pay back the chov? So the Gemara says, you know why I have to pay back a chov? Because priyas bal chov mitzvah. Because there's a mitzvah to pay back a chov. Mitzvah, where did that come from? So Rashi on the spot says, it's called the mitzvah being honest. I borrowed $100 from you. I told you I'm going to pay back the chov. So I have to pay back the chov. Mitzvah sheketircha. Hain said that. You have to be honest. You gave your word. You have to pay back the money. So the Gemara asks a startling question. The Gemara says, if you hold that the obligation to pay back a chov is mumminous, is rooted in cheshem mishpat. So I understand why Beis Din can go ahead and take away the money. But if you hold that returning money is not rooted in cheshem mishpat, is rooted in midvar sheker tirchak. That's a nice Uncle Moshe song. Midvar sheker tirchak. Never tell a lie. You gave your word. You better be an honest person. That's all really nice. But what if the lova says, listen, I'm not interested in you teaching me about Mesillas Yesharim, about being a good person. I'm not such an honest guy. I don't want to be honest. I don't want to keep my word. I don't want to perform the mitzvah priyas b'chol. Go do me something. So where does the person go at that point? The Gemara says, no. Beis Din is going to make you return the chov. Why is Beis Din going to make you return the chov? Because kaifin ala mitzvahs. And the Gemara says a startling thing. The Gemara says, the same way if a fellow doesn't want to put on tefillin, Beis Din will be kaifin to put on tefillin. The guy doesn't want to come to shul to hear a shofar, doesn't want to eat matzah, shake lulav, kaifer all the mitzvahs. The Gemara says the ability to force the person to pay back the chov is through the principle of kfi ala mitzvahs. That's a very, very different way of analyzing a chov. I borrow $1,000 from you, according to one opinion in the Gemara, cheshem mishpat is dictating the return of this chov. According to the other opinion in the Gemara, it's doing mitzvahs is dictating the returning of the chov. So the Ramban of Baba Basra takes the Gemara one step further. Ramban says, wait a second, says the Ramban. Yes, the Ramban, if it's true that the only requirement to pay back a chov is because I gave you my word, mitzvah, for a priyas bal chov mitzvah, and the only koch the Beis Din has is koch for nala mitzvahs, what if I skip down? I borrowed $100 from you, and I skipped out. I'm not around. Beis Din's hands are tied. They can't find me. What do you do now? So the Ramban says, they can take my property. They can go to my backyard and take $100 worth of land. They can go and take my nechasim to pay back the chov. Why? Based on what? We just got finished saying that it's not shibud, it's not dinimah, it's not a kinyan. So the Ramban says, it's based on kaifin ala mitzvahs. What's the kaifin ala mitzvahs? Where, who, what, where? The guy's not around. Says the Ramban, the following phrase, ad shetechufenu begufo, techufenu bemamono. Beis Din can force you to pay to do your mitzvah by taking away your property. If Beis Din can force you physically, they can beat you up to make do mitzvahs. So what do they have to beat you up for? What do they have to do it something not nice for? Take away your money and shine. That's also a form of kfiya. So the Ramban says that the whole institution of Beis Din enforcing returning of loans has nothing to do with cheshem mishpat. We thought that this is about mitzia, this is about basra, this is cheshem, this is the hardcore dinimam, this is about that. Returning loans, Beis Din's ability to make you return a loan is based on you gave your word to return the loan, it's a mitzvah to return a loan, you decided not to, Beis Din's going to go after you. Beis Din can't find you, they'll be kofi you, quote unquote, they'll be kofi you by taking away your property. That's the Ramban, a very, very important Ramban, the very end of Baba Basra. When the Ramban puts his whole spin, a whole theory on Priyas Bachayev mitzvah, according to that opinion that there's no such thing as Shibudim in HaTorah. According to that Ramban, that whenever you have a mitzvah to do something, not only can Beis Din force you physically to do it, but Beis Din can force you monetarily to do it. because taking away your property is included, is subsumed under the heading of Kfi ala mitzvahs. According to the Rabban, we have another reason why Beis Din can force you to return Ribbis money, and if you choose not to, Beis Din will do it for you. So the Rashba told us in Bava Metzia that Beis Din has no way to take away your property to return Ribbis. Beis Din can ask you, Beis Din can request you, Beis Din can compel you, Beis Din can beat you up to do it. They can do everything but for them to go into your backyard and take away your money, Beis Din cannot do, because Ribbis is not Gezela. So the Sefer, I'm sorry, the Meiri disagreed and would say, no, it's not true. The Yeshom and the Meiri would say, Beis Din could literally take away the property because it's Mamish Gezela. So we have Machlokes from one extreme to another. But now we're presenting the Ramban's view. The Ramban is the middle ground. The Ramban is saying, the Rashba in theory may be right that returning Ribbis is not considered to be Gezela, but Beis Din could still take it away from you. Why? Based on the dinim of Kfiya. So we have three opinions in the Gedolei Rishonim. What happens next? A guy took Ribbis, Chatasya Visa Peshatya took Ribbis, and now Beis Din turns around to me and says, please pay the Ribbis back, and I look him straight in the face and I say, no, and I hop on the next plane to China. What happens next? So according to the Rashba, you know what happens next? Absolutely nothing. At Kavilya, he said, Beis Din cannot get involved, because it's not Gezela, it was Mitzvah, the guy's not around, tougher hands are tied. The Ramban would say, no, Beis Din can get involved, even though the fellow's not here. Kefen ala mitzvah dictates that the person can get involved. And the Meiri says that Beis Din can get involved, it can take away your property. You know why? Because it's Mamish Gezela. So three opinions in the Gedolei Rishonim. What happens next after Ribbis was taken? And it all emanates from Esugya. It all starts with Esugya. Can you be Mekadosh Shadisha with property that was taken as Ribbis? If you hold that the answer is yes, then you hold that Ribbis is not Gezela. If you hold the answer is no, then presumably you hold that Ribbis is Gzalia.
Can we invoke for the Rashba? Can you just invoke Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker?
I mean, we could, Beis Din, in theory, can do whatever they want, but they could, but they didn't. So Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker is not a Hefker belt, no pun intended. We don't do it all the time. We shouldn't point out that Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker has to be done with a Zah, Yeshiva Das, in very, very limited circumstances. So whatever reason they felt that there's no great need to do this, we'll leave it in their eyes. We hope the guy will do what his mitzvah is supposed to do.
I mean, with the rest of the loan, give me a loan, isn't it just, wouldn't you have said that basically that when a person borrows money or lends money, it's really, I'm lending my time that you're going to give it back to me. You're going to eventually pay it back. So in other words, it's
I mean,
not,
it turns out, I mean, if you don't pay back to me, Igloy Milsa, that I never gave it to you in the first place, and Igloy Milsa, and never gave it to the first place, Igloy Milsa, that was Gazelle all along.
Gazelle, yeah.
Is that really?
There's a big difference, right? You're getting it back to. In other words, I go to steal your jacket right in front of you. That's Gazelle. That's, you know, you give it to me.
Right.
Right.
That's part of the reason why the many Rishonim say Ribbis is not, because even though Ribbis is quote unquote Yisr, but it was given willingly.
Yeah.
Right. So Israel is asking from a whole different. Israel is coming from a different angle that why don't we say that the mechayev of giving back is because otherwise the Goy Milsa that the money was never given in the first place. And I don't think that's true. I'm not sure if that's true. That. Turns out that it was Mamish Betoris Gezela. I don't think about that. Yeah. I have to think about that. I hear where you're coming from. I think about that a little bit. I don't know. I'm not sure. So getting back to that sugya. So we got a little bit sidetracked. It wasn't, but now falls the Ritva took us down the sidetrack.
The whole idea of milva it's a deraisa chiyuv from Kadosh Baruch Hu to give a loan. So doesn't that extricate itself from doing anything else? Meaning that everybody's supposed to lend money to someone else and get nothing for that in return whatsoever.
But except for his money. He's supposed to get his money back.
Oh, but nothing else. Nothing else attached. Otherwise, it's annulled or whatever else. Right. So in that context alone, in that definition alone, of the chiyuv of the mitzvah, it would sort of like remove itself from having any other benefit from it.
The question is, that's true, 100%. There's no question what the person who was usher. The question is, once I did what was usher, I gave you the $100, and I made a deal for you to give me back $120, and you gave me back the $120. The question is, do we say that, you're right, that since the Torah said you're not allowed to do that, so doing that is tantamount to stealing. The Torah said that is considered to be theft. What do I say? No. I say the Torah said not to do a lot of things.
No, but in the context of Kedushin, in comparison to everything else, because it's a mitzvah and because it's a chiyuv, it sort of like removes it on a technical basis, other than everything else which becomes an issue of like everything else that's either hegdish or a tzavah. But this in itself gets
right. But the problem is, you see, this Henry's almost touching on it. It's almost like smacking like a mitzvah b'aveira. Like the Torah is not mesiaches to this. But just because Kedusha is done to Isser, that does not disqualify Kedusha.
Right, I know.
Going to Grusha, we have a lot of examples like that.
Right, but it's more, I was looking at on more of a technical, not meaning because there's a Tzavah on this act, it can't duplicate itself for something else.
But the problem is you have a lot of these kinds of things. Let's say Lamash Kedusha Bia. Person gets married with Kedusha Bia, and the Bia was done to Isser. So the Torah said, let's say a person is married with Kedusha Bia with a woman who's a Nida. So it's a terrible, terrible thing what he did, and it undermines everything that the Torah is saying. But at the end of the day, the Kedusha is still tough.
See, I see it differently, because I see the Halvar as a specific different technical issue.
Okay. So now we have to get back on track, back in terms of our sugya. So we got, you can't blame us for getting sidetracked, the Rebbe took us down this path, the Rebbe took us down this path, we have to get back to Agamar. So the entire story, let's go back to the first Inner Mamar Kamus. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi, I'm a Kaddish B'milveh, for the Bava Mez, a Kaddish B'milveh Eidim HaKudeshes. The person is a Kaddish Anisha with a Milveh. It means that he lent her the money last week, and now they're standing under the Chuppah and he can't find the ring. So he says, no problem, I'm Meichel the Milveh, and the Mechilas and Milveh should be the Kedushin. So the Gemara says, forget it, Eidim HaKudeshes. So we spoke a lot about this, why, either, you know, it's Milveh Lo Tzon, it's not giving him money, it's not giving him cash, whatever, all the different reasons that we gave. But Hanos Milveh Mekudeshes, but if he's Mekadisha with Hanos Milveh, that would be good. And it was unclear what Hanos Milveh meant. I think I was trying to fiddle around with what Hanos Milveh is. And finally, let's skip down to the last, the end of the second line, Lotzricha, the Arvach Lazimna. Those are the three magic words. That the case of Hanos Milveh is what's called Arvach Lazimna, and that's the case that he shouldn't have done it, but Lamaisa B'diav the Kedusha Yischal. What is the case? What do the words mean? So the arvach means to extend, law means har, and zimna means time. So it has something to do with extending the time of a loan. And some hocus pocus, she's mekudeshes. He extended the time of a loan. What do the words mean, he extended the time of a loan? So let's take a look down at the riff on the fifth of the Rambam Kamos. So kedusha da bezim and bezim adapia riff, number five, amr abayim, a kaddish be milva enim mekudeshes, but anos milva mekudeshes, for us, alas escape in the Romans rimis, we'll leave that out for now. Hanos milva hechidavia. So the riff, what is the case of Anos Milveh? Kigon, the following scenario. The Mata Zibne Lemegva Mina. It comes time for her to pay back the loan. The Arvach Lazimna. And at that moment that she's supposed to be paying back the loan, he extends the loan. And he says to her as follows, V'amala, B'ahi hana de Arvachna Lech Adzman Ploni, Mekachas Li. He says to her, with the benefit that I'm giving you, that I'm extending you the loan. She has to pay back the loan now. He's about to take it to court. They're standing under the chuppah. He says to her, I lent you money 6 months ago, and I have a right to take you to Beis Din. And she says, oh, please, can you hold off to lift the share brachas? Hold off for another week. He says, okay, I'm going to be such a nice guy. I'm going to hold off the loan for another week. And she breathes a sigh of relief. She gives him a big smile. She's happy. He's extending the loan. So that smile, that extension of the loan, sets into motion a hanoah. And it's that Hanoi turns around and says, Haram Kudashli, Bahanos extension of loan ploni. That is the Gemara's case. Now again, should he have done that? For multiple reasons, probably not. But for Ribbis reasons, maybe that's a Ribbis issue. We'll talk about that hopefully as the Sugi develops a little bit further. But says the Riff, that's the case, the Gemara. That he was Makadisha with the Hanos extension of the loan. So Frek, the Riff Akash on himself, Ikashalach, the Riff asks in the beginning of the third line, Hechi Alima. Hanas milva, the milva gufa. Madach, if he is meichel the entire loan, so the condition is no good, how in the world is extending the loan going to be better than canceling the loan? If he tries to cancel the loan, the entire loan, she's not mekudeshes, Kalachan extends it a couple of days, says the Riff, no, lo kasha, it's not a question. Why? Hanas, that's the key word, Hanas milva isa. Hanas milva exists. Hano exists. I don't want to put too much, you know, strength on it. I was about to say it's tangible. It's there. It's not tangible. It's not there. But halachically, it's tangible. Halachically, it's there. Hano exists. You can be mekadesh and isha with Hano. You have to stand under the chuppah and you have to ask a very, very, very real question. So So just the last night of the Kiddushin. So the first question that the rabbi always asks is, he always asks two questions under the chuppah. He said, yes, the chassid is, does this ring belong to you? And hopefully the answer is yes. Every once in a while the chassid says, no, my parents bought it for me. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got to get the father to be machnet under the chuppah. It's always a little bit embarrassing. Especially, that's why I always like, when I'm in that condition, I like to ask those couple of questions, not with an open mic, because you never know what strange answers are going to come out out of the chassid's mouth. But Baruch Hashem, last night, all the right answers were given. So they ask, is the ring belong to you? And then number two, the Chassid Vision turns to the Yehidim and asks the Yehidim, is the ring a Shavu Pruta? So hopefully the answer to that is going to be yes as well. So here it gets very, very tricky. The Chassid Vision is standing under the Chuppah, and the Chassid is about to be Mekadesh the Kala. There's no ring. So where's the Kedushin? The Kedushin is that tremendous joy and benefit and pleasure that she's benefiting from, that she doesn't have to pay back the chov now. She has a whole week to pay back left to share brachas. So it's that Kedushin with a straight face has to stand on the chov and ask the Edim, Edim, I want you to tell me, size up that benefit. Now here, it's much harder for the Edim. There's no ring to look at. Size up that benefit and tell me, how much is that benefit worth? Is it worth a pruta? Would a person give a pruta to delay paying back a chov for 6 months? Probably. Most people would do that. To hold off for the chov, I don't have to, here I'm pressed for the cash. I'd rather not pay back the $10,000 now. Give me a week. Would I pay a nickel for that? Most probably. So whether I should or should not, maybe ribbons. But would I theoretically pay that nickel? So the answer is I would. That's the kesef kedushin. So says the Rif, that hanah is quote-unquote tangible in halacha. That hanah exists in halacha. And therefore, you can be mekadesh anisha with that. The problem with mechilas hamilveh, there was no kesef kedushin. If you would have formulated by saying you're Mekadosh with Hanas Bechilas HaMilveh, Rashi says that would work. But that's not what you said. You said you were Mekadosh with the canceling of the loan. Canceling of the loan doesn't exist in Halacha. That's a nothing. It's Milveh Lotzon. The loan was given to her last week. You're not giving her anything. There's no Kesef Be'en. There's nothing there. Therefore, it doesn't work. So the Rif says that even though superficially Mekadosh B'milveh and Mekadosh B'Hanos Milveh appear to be the same, what's the difference? Hanor, what's the difference? The whole difference in the world. As long as you put in that magic word Hanor, that changes the entire equation, because the Kedushin is no longer revolving around the Mechilas HaMilveh, which Lamaisa doesn't exist. It's revolving around the Hanor, which in fact does exist. So that's the Rif's Shita. And Rashi in Ashugi says, Kimat, the identical thing. So comes the...
So not having to pay back the loan.
Not having to pay back the loan is not the condition. The enjoyment, the big smile, that the feeling good that you're getting from not having to pay back the loan, that's the condition. It's a very, very fine line.
Right, so it's like saying someone giving a ring of a pruta and giving a 5-carat diamond. And person in cash with the pruta ring, but
that's right.
That's right.
It's
too expensive.
That's right. The mechilas and move itself falls short. So comes the Rambam. Very, not only a Mechudesh de Keshita, but a Mechudesh de Keshita, how he relates to those who disagreed with him. So the Rambam is at the top of the second page. HaMekadosh B'Hanos Milveh Reis B'Kodeshes. Kate said. The Rambam says, what's the case of the Gemara? Kugon Shehuva Osa Ata Masayim Zuz. He lends a 200 Zuz now. So something's already different. We thought that this loan took place 6 months ago. No. They're standing under the chuppah. He's lending a 200 zuz. V'yamala rebu kudeshes leiv b'hanos man she'arviach la b'milveh zo she'tiyah b'yaruch ha'kach v'kach yoyim v'ein yitov v'meich adzman plonis atzabon ha'reizim u'kudeshes. So the Rambam says, yes, the Kedushin is revolving around the Hanoah, but unlike the Rif, who said that the loan took place 6 months ago, and now he's just putting the extension on it right now, the Rambam says it's all taking place right now. He's lending her $100 now. And he's saying to her, by the way, I would normally expect that money back by June 1st. I'm going to be a nice guy and give you till July 1st. And don't you enjoy that? Are you happy? Are you excited about that extra month? She says, yeah, I'm thrilled. Aid him quick. Assess how happy she is. Oh, she's happy up to a fruit that's worth. Shut Mazel Tov. That's the Rambam shot. So the Rambam is the same as the Rif, that the Kedushin is not the loan, the Kedushin is the Hanah. But the difference is that according to the Rambam, the loan must be taking place right now. Now, if you skip down to the end of the third line in the Rambam, Upirshu Rabbeisai. My Rabbeim have explained Vanos Milva, the Sugi Vanos Milva. Now let's not forget who was Rabbeim Bar. We said this many times. The Rambam's primary Rebbe was his father, Rabbeinu Maimon, whose primary Rebbe was the Rimagash, whose primary Rebbe was the Rif. So the Rif was very much the quote unquote Rebbe. The Rambam never met the Rif. The Rambam, according to different traditions, met the Rimagash. When Rambam was a little boy, he met the Rimagash. The Hasidic story about the Ram, meaning the Rimagash, is the Rambam supposedly said everything he got in learning was from the bracha that he got from the Rimagash. So again, if he met the Rimagash, he met him as a very, very young boy. But he never met the Rif. But the Rambam considered the Rif to be his Rebbe because he was his Rebbe's Rebbe's Rebbe. So comes the Rambam about the Rif and says, "Upirshu Rabbeisai, Banos Milva, Devarim She'ein Ro'oi L'Shom'on." He says, it's not good to hear them. He says, what my Rebbeim said, he's talking about father. So about his father's Rebbe, his father's grand Rebbe, he said, what they said in this sugi v'nos milva is not kedai. I'm not going to even write it, says the Rambam. Sometimes the Rambam quotes Rebbeim and disagree. Here he says, I'm not even going to write it. Ain't royal shalom. It's not even worth it to discuss. What nikud, what did the Rambam not like about the pshat of the Rif, and by extension his father, his Rebbe, etc.? The Rambam couldn't conceive of kedushin taking place when nothing's being given. Now, you can't be Mekadosh in Isha with anything that's emanating from a loan from 6 months ago. That's Mekadosh B'milva and Mekudeshus. Therefore, the Rambam had to change the case, had to insert into the case that something's being given here and now. The loan has been given here and now, and the Kedushin is being attached to that loan, but there has to be an Asinus HaKesef here and now. So now we have a whole new aspect of the Sugya. What is the case? The Gemara says, Mekadosh B'nos Milva, raise Mekudeshus. What? Give me a case, give me a scenario. According to the Rif, the money was given a long time ago, and now the final negotiations are now, let's extend it a couple of days, and Hanoah. According to the Rambam, the Etzem loan must be taking place now with the Hanoah attached to that point.
Why do we need the extension of the loan, though? I mean, is this just like Rashi? In other words, Rashi said, if you're Mekadosh with the Hanas Milva, that's fine.
Right. You mean, according to the Rambam, you don't even need the extension of Arviach Loch Milva. Even the Hanoah of the Milva itself, L'chori should be okay. Right. L'chori should be okay. So we have to look at this Ram, hopefully this tomorrow, in light of another Ram. Ram and Hukas Mav Velova, that throws a whole nother monkey wrench into the Sugya, and Ram and arrive, and hopefully this tomorrow, we'll try to flesh out the Shittas Ram. So yeah, we're going to have the Shia tomorrow. That's the Shittas Ram.